introduction. In verse 4 he says, so he's thanking them, thanking God for their perseverance in faith, and that's the key, in welcoming grace in their life. Let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. A couple of words here. Full effect means work. That's what he means. It may it, in fact, the verb is ergon, work, and telion, ergon, is the work that comes to full maturity. Telos in Greek is the goal, where you're aiming for. So if this is about reaching the goal and fully, what Jesus is, living to the full. I've come that you may live and live to the full. So let your endurance bear complete harvest, is the idea, so that you may be mature, and the word for mature is telios. So mature is okay, but please get the image. It means so that you will reach the goal. You'll get there. You'll become who you are called to be. That's what it means. And complete, lacking in nothing. Here's some statements from the New Testament that might help you meditate on that. Jesus says the tree is known by its fruit. Exactly the same. And if your faith is real, I'll know by your fruit, says Jesus. The works, the work that comes out of the faith, will test it. Be perfect, here it is again. Same word, telios. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's not a quantitative statement. It's not saying you have the same level of perfection as God. I mean, it's unthinkable, isn't it? I mean, it just seems... It's not that. He's saying the goal to which you're heading, Jesus is saying, let your perfection be the same kind of perfection that God has. And he's already said it's about loving your enemies. It's about love. It's about prayer, forgiveness, all the virtues. This is the Sermon on the Mount. So the kind of perfection, the kind of goal to which you're heading, make sure it's this one, not all these other goals that people set in their life, which aren't to do with God. Make the same kind of values that you see in your Father, and Jesus is living them, revealing them, showing them, and you know they're about love. Here's Paul. The only thing that counts is faith working, same word, ergo, working through love. And Paul also says in the Ephesians 4:13, our aim is to be perfect. But not, you know, perfectionism is a criminal thing to put into somebody's psyche. I think you all know that. So we're not talking about, I've got to do everything right, that's anxious. It means, so perfect mightn't be a good translation, but I hope you've got the idea. It means the direction in which you're moving, the goal which is attracting you and which you're taking step by step towards in the mystery of God's love. So the river of life is flowing in this direction. Until we are, till finally, in the risen life, we are perfect to the measure of the full stature of Christ. And if it happens now, God bless you. Why not? You were given all the grace to do it now. And please God, it is now. And some people are innocent and beautiful at 15 and stay that way all their life. Some are martyred young and all the rest of it. And some are like 65 years old and still struggling. But there we are. We've all got our life to live. Verse 5. If any of you is lacking in wisdom... Wisdom always means that quality that receives revelation. So it's very intimately linked with faith. Wisdom isn't just clues or being very knowledgeable. They can be included. But wisdom in the Bible means that quality which enables you or me to recognize the revelation of God in the events of our life. It's quite profound and quite practical. If any is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives it all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you, says James. Here's the book of wisdom, chapter 9, verse 6. Even one who is perfect among human beings will be regarded as nothing, without the wisdom that comes from you. Wisdom chapter 7 verse 7, I prayed and understanding was given me. I called on God and the spirit of wisdom came to me. This is the great gift of the Spirit, wisdom. Many other of the seven gifts, but this is surely at the very heart of them. Ask and it will be given you, says Jesus. Everyone who asks receives. But, says James, ask in faith. Ask open to God. Ask welcoming grace. Don't ask from your own, but ask in a humble, childlike way. Ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. I'll come back to this little point because it might intrigue you. The next verse is numbered 7 and 8 in your Bibles, probably. And you might wonder why, as I wondered why. I'll come back to the reason in a minute. Driven and tossed by the wind. And then this verse, which is numbered 7 and 8. For the doubter, being double-minded, dipsychos, psyche, two psyches, the soul is divided. This way and that way. The great thing that stops all of us being saints, really. We're on a bit of this and a bit of that. The compromising or the foot in both camps, put it whatever image attracts you, why we don't give our whole heart to the... So, but double-minded and unstable in every way mustn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Not because the Lord isn't giving it, but because we're not open to receive it. We're kind of going up to God with our hands like that. Teresa of Lisieux puts it beautifully. She says, when I go to God, I want to go with empty hands. She doesn't want any merits, any virtues, any praise. Just wants to go so that she can grab Jesus and go, because she's got nothing in her hands to stop her holding, embracing. So the emptiness of that. You can't receive. If you doubt in your heart, if you do not doubt in your heart, it will be done for you. So it is time for a break, but we've only done 8 verses. And I hope you agree, they're so rich. I could have spent a week just on those 8 verses, which you wouldn't want, I don't suppose. But here's the beautiful James, really in touch with the best of his biblical tradition, and filled with the statements of Jesus. But I've tried to give you many of them, and I could give you many more. Encouraging the Jewish in the diaspora, the Jews that are not now in Jerusalem and maybe not being nourished, Jewish Christians, not being nourished very well. And if other Jews read it and become Christians, James is delighted. Encouraging them to endure in faith and to ask for the gift of wisdom so that they will recognize grace when it comes to them. So James now moves to a further point, still introducing the main themes that he's going to develop later in the letter. Let the believer who is lowly boast in being raised up. I've made a distinction that I think needs to be made to be careful. There's a Greek word called tapenos, which means low, as distinct from high. And that's the word used here. There's another word, humble, which this is sometimes translated as, which is not simply tapenos, but tapenophrosune. It's got an extra bit on the end, the word humble, meaning to think of yourself as low, which is what humble technically means in the Greek, to think of yourself that way. So I have translated this because he doesn't use the word tapenophrosune, he just says tapenos. So let the believer who is lowly, however he or she might think of herself, himself, boast in being raised up. So, later on he'll say, chapter 4, verse 6, God gives grace to the lowly, to those who are poor and broken, hurt and oppressed and all of that, and crucified, to the lowly. God gives grace to the lowly. Psalm 18, you deliver a lowly people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. I'm not denying humility is a word here that's related, because it is related, but I am trying to just simply say that it isn't actually the word humble that's being used. The Lord is near the brokenhearted, and he saves the lowly in spirit. Spirit is always our relationship with God, breath. So the ones whose spirit is lowly, they low. So what he's really saying, let us speak of the wonders that God has done for us and invite others to join us in praising God, for it is God who is showering his gifts upon us. This word boast, which Paul uses a lot too, and here's James using it, it means take pride in this. Don't take pride in, don't be excited by or grateful for or whatever, that you are high anywhere. No, it's okay to be low. It's okay to be a child. It's okay to receive. It's okay to be lowly. Boast in this. Take pride in this. Let your joy be in this. Praise God for this, that God has taken you and lifted you up. You haven't climbed up. You've been lifted up. Again, if I could take an image that just came to mind then of Thérèse of Lisieux when she was a little girl and at the bottom of the steps, and she couldn't get a foot big enough to get up to the first step, and her father, whom she had a great love for, was at the top of the steps, and then she realised she couldn't do it herself, and Dad would come down and pick her up and carry her up the staircase, and she kind of remembered this, and that's an image for her of what God had done for her. She couldn't do it on her own, but God has actually lifted her up in love. So let the believer who is lowly boast in being raised up, not in being high. Okay. Thus says the Lord, to continue this verse, do not let the wise boast in their... this is Jeremiah, still. Do not let the wise boast in their wisdom. Do not let the mighty boast in their might. Do not let the wealthy boast in their wealth. Let those who boast, boast in this, says Jeremiah, that they understand and know me, that I am the Lord. I act with steadfastness, I love justice and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, says the Lord. And Paul quotes that a couple of times in his Corinthian correspondence, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And in Romans, Paul says, we boast in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Exactly what James has just said in the verse before. We don't boast because we're suffering. And suffering is usually inflicted on us by others, and often unjustly, and often it's sinful. Not always, but often. So that's not what we're boasting in, but we're boasting in the fact that by bearing suffering, we can't avoid it, and by loving through it, we find ourselves becoming firmer in our faith, more open to the mystery and more embracing of God.